Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
These years with you, our viewers, have enriched my life beyond all measure.
Emotional. I mean, emotional is the only word that I can use.
She actually seemed nervous.
I do believe she's doing the right thing, and I'm very happy for her.
Anything that she does turns to gold, so the sky's the limit for Oprah.
Of course, Oprah Winfrey announcing today that her show that has been on the air 25 years, somewhere in that neighborhood, will be leaving the air in about a year. She's going on to bigger, and one would assume her fans hope, better media ventures. She's more than just a TV personality, more than just a talk show host. At times of crisis in the United States, she has stepped up as, well, some have called her a figurehead of spiritual leadership, the divine Miss Winfrey. Others have called her a hip, materialistic Mother Teresa, and even America's pastor. We're going to talk about the pop spirituality of Oprah Winfrey as she hits the news yet again with another career move and, one might even say, a change in her role in America's, at least pop culture, America's life. Gretchen Pasentino will join us here in just a moment. It's Friday, November the 20th. You can join us for the next hour, too. 1-877-623-6943. Write this number down because in a half hour, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @issuesetc. Gretchen Pasentino is co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. Gretchen, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Todd. I always enjoy talking with you and learning from your listeners, too. When we get calls or emails, I always come away with something more. You've got the best audience.
I got to admit, at first, a little envy. I understand you went to a B.B. King concert last night. How was it?
Oh, I didn't just go to a B.B. King concert. I was like within 100 feet of the guy. It was a great concert. He kept saying this is the last song. And, well, my husband and I got to bed at 1:30 in the morning. And I'll tell you what, at our ages, was 100% worth it, but I think it's going to take us a week to get back on our feet.
Does he still play Lucille?
He still plays Lucille. He still sings. He's still got that big voice, those amazing fingers. I love the blues. B.B. King is my hero in the blues. We played a B.B. King song at our wedding, and I was not disappointed. It was great. And your audience has known me for many years, so I'll share a little secret with you and them. Every night when we go to sleep at night, you know, my husband and I first fell in love when I was a young teenager, and then we were apart for many, many, many years and only reunited a few years ago. So every night when we go to bed, I sing to him. I sing, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away." That's just a little sappy little, you know, husbands and wives do little things for each other. Well, B.B. King sang that last night, and he said every wife should sing it to her, or every woman should sing it to the loved one she brought to the concert. And so I sang it to my husband and kissed him, and we thought, man, he must somehow have bugged our bedroom and did that just for us.
The closest I've ever gotten to the guy is his place in Memphis, which has great food, by the way. But never seen him in concert. I'm a bit envious.
Oh, he's 84 years old. I was absolutely amazed. I hope he keeps performing. He said that some people had asked, isn't it about time you retired? And he said he really thought about it, but then he thought about rappers and hip hop and decided he needed to stay in business. So thank God he did.
Well, from from one icon of American culture, without a doubt, to another, Oprah Winfrey announces today that she will be changing venue, if you will, of the way that she reaches so many millions in America through the media. She's been called the Divine Miss Winfrey. She's been called a figurehead of spirituality, a hip Mother Teresa. There's no doubt about it. She has influence in matters of spirituality for many of her fans. If she is, for lack of a better term, America's pastor, what's she preaching and teaching?
Very, very interesting that she would be called a pastor. I think she probably wouldn't like the term pastor. I think that typically brings across the idea of someone in power, someone directing. Certainly many feminists would say that it's a very misogynist term, that, you know, it's talking about the evil man that keeps everybody else in control by promoting fear or threats. I think rather than a pastor, I think she would see herself as someone bringing self-identification, hope, and security. She's a little bit like a Walter Cronkite. For those who are old enough to remember that, if Walter Cronkite said it, it must be true. If the world is going to hell in a handbasket, but Walter Cronkite is still on the screen, we haven't reached it yet. For those who maybe went to a Billy Graham crusade at one time, maybe even received the Lord there, she's a little bit like Billy Graham, offering hope for the future, being confident that there's an answer, that you're not lost and stuck in the depravity of the life around you. In some ways, she's like FDR during World War II, who would have his fireside chats and assure America that although they were going through horrible things, although they had suffered many traumatic calamities, life was still there. There was confidence that there would be a win, and evil will be banished. Oprah Winfrey has a little bit of all those things in her. She herself came from a very tragic background and rose to nearly incomparable popularity and financial success, and, you know, she has a great deal of talent and professionalism and everything else, but she's also an everybody. You could imagine yourself being young, abused, pregnant, single. Life is over before you're even grown up, but Oprah Winfrey made it. Maybe I won't be an Oprah, but maybe I can get out of this mess. So in those ways, she's giving to millions and millions of people, from some survey, 75% of them women, an idea of comfort, protection, and hope for the future. That's a pretty stunning combination, and it's also a very, very subtle counterfeit of the truth of the gospel. In the gospel, we have all those things from the eternal, infinite, all-powerful, all-loving, all-forgiving God. He suffered with us in Jesus Christ. He suffered on our behalf and rescued us from the horror of evil in this world. And he has shown us the confidence of the future of his fulfilled kingdom by rising from the dead in his resurrection body and promising that as he has been raised, so we will be too. So she brings a gospel, but it's a counterfeit gospel. It addresses our deepest needs, bad experiences, fear, uncertainty about the future, but not with the answer of Jesus Christ, which is the true answer, but with a false answer of thinking positive thoughts, finding your own way to God, looking for the divinity that is within you, reading books, doing behaviors, accomplishing things, sounding, looking, imitating somebody like Oprah. All of those man-devised solutions are counterfeits, and they'll ultimately fail. Jesus Christ is the real, and he never fails.
The difficult thing about Oprah Winfrey is that there's so much good you can say about her, at least in a civil sense, in kind of a human way. Without a doubt, tremendously generous. I think she seems genuinely concerned about people that she has on the program, people she helps. There's a genuine concern there, all of this. And some people would say, you know, what more can you ask, Gretchen? This is a woman who is just doing her best, and she is as sincere as anybody can be. How do you respond?
One of the things that biblical theology tells us, and that I think we as Lutherans articulate very well, is that God's imprint is in the world and in humans created in his image, even though the world and those humans are tainted and corrupted and separated from God by sin. She does good acts. They are genuinely good acts, and she's to be commended for those good acts. She says good things. She promotes good behavior. All of those things reflect the image of the perfect, all good God who created us and sustains us and gives us breath. But acts by sinful humans do not accomplish salvation and the reconciliation of the world. Whether a bad man does a good act for a self-serving reason, or a relatively good person does a good act because they have a genuine heart to do it, has nothing to do with how we are reconciled to God, so that once we are reconciled, His Spirit can begin transforming us into what He originally created for. That reconciliation doesn't come from good intentions or good behavior. It comes from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross on our behalf. She cannot produce salvation in herself or for anyone else in any system that denies the totality and centrality of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. That is the only way. In that sense, it's very, very narrow. There's only one way to be reconciled with God. But in another sense, it is extremely broad, because that offer of salvation is available to every human being who has ever lived, one who looks very with it and capable and pulled together like an Oprah Winfrey, one who looks entirely the opposite and everything in her life is falling apart. Even for those who have chosen to cling to evil and sinfulness, unless they are reprobate and have forever pushed away the Holy Spirit, that offer of the gospel is still available for them. The offer is narrow. It's only in Jesus, but it's broad. It's for everybody.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue with Gretchen Passantino talking about the pop spirituality of Oprah Winfrey. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Friday, November the 20th. 1-877-623-6943 is our call-in number. 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskuta, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskuta, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown, in Kirkwood, and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features Benny Hinn.
Adam was a super being, that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. With one thought, he'd be on the moon.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
Joel Osteen.
You may have to weed through 100 negative thoughts before you come to the right sound. The voice of victory that's saying, you are blessed, you are prosperous, you can do all things, your best days are still ahead. Latch on to those thoughts.
Never heard the word impossible this time. There's no...
And Deepak Chopra.
How come you're all so convinced that God is a he and Satan is a he? How come we have these ideas that are so mythical, that are so primitive?
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video at issuesetc.org and click support.
I thought that Jesus' being here was about his death and dying on the cross, when it really was about him coming to show us how to do it, to show us the Christ consciousness that he had, and that consciousness abides with all of us.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the pop spirituality of Oprah Winfrey. Gretchen Pasantino of Answers in Action is our guest. Gretchen, before the break, you were talking about this exclusive proclamation that Jesus makes of himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I take it from the little piece we heard just a moment ago, but also from reading elsewhere about Oprah Winfrey, that at one time she did believe this. Does she believe it anymore?
No, she doesn't believe it anymore. She grew up in a Baptist with a Baptist background. She heard and understood the basic claims of the gospel. I read different biographies of her, and she made a proclamation of faith in Christ. And I can't remember if she was baptized as a Baptist, but gave every indication of having an awareness of an evangelical perspective about salvation and grace alone. But she has come to the point, and I think probably that was, very long before she was very, very popular, that one way is way too unfair to people. In fact, she said at one point, she says, I'm reading from an article, a very good article from the Christian Examiner about Oprah Winfrey. It says, she dismisses the idea that there is one way to God when she says, there couldn't possibly be just one way. One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way. There are many paths to what you call God. And as I've read lots of things that Oprah has said, and I've watched many interviews with her, and of course looked at her television show, and especially the other people that she promotes, like Eckhart Tolle and Rhonda Byrne with The Secret, she definitely believes that the important thing is to be spiritual. What kind of spiritual is kind of irrelevant to her. She probably has some sort of a pantheistic worldview, an idea that kind of everything is God and God is everything and God is within you and, follow the tune that's laid out for you and everything will be happy. That is the kind of spirituality that she promotes. And as I said before, it's very narrow, the way to God, in the sense that it's only in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. But it's extremely broad because God loved the whole world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not die but have everlasting life. The provision is in Jesus Christ, and that provision is for every one of us. Oprah Winfrey, Adolf Hitler, Gretchen Pasantino, anybody else. Whether we respond to that provision through the grace of God with believing surrender, or whether we resist in a variety of ways, saying, God, I don't want your way, or, gee, that's awfully narrow-minded, God, it's got to be easier than that. No matter how we do that, when we reject the one way, we've lost our way.
Finally, then, on Oprah, she has tremendous influence, and her audience, obviously, some of them hang upon her every word, but I think most of them have some kind of discernment. Would you recommend, and since it's mostly a female audience, would you recommend that young women watch Oprah, especially as she begins a new venture, an entirely new network, entirely of her making?
People are certainly free to do what they want. I have no fear about the counterfeit or the false because I have a firm grasp on the true. And I'm dedicated to surrendering myself to the power of the Holy Spirit, not only to transform my behavior, but also to transform my mind. I believe anything the world has to offer, Christianity offers, but it's true, it's right, and it's founded in salvation in Jesus Christ. So in that sense, I'm not afraid of confronting the counterfeit or hearing or seeing things that are non-Christian. But I also know that any of us can be subverted from the truth by the wiles of the devil or the well-mentioned but wrong opinions of other people. And the more we're exposed to the false, the easier it is for us to be less discerning and more gullible. And some people are not well equipped to separate the chaff from the wheat. I'll give you an example. There was a person who had been a long-time volunteer to our organization, Answers in Action. He knows the theology of the cults. He knows good Christian theology. He has been involved in many volunteer outreach opportunities with our organization, sharing the true gospel with people who have fallen for false gospels. But he's been attending a church that has some good things in it, but also some heretical things in it. He goes because he's friends with some people who go there. He's lonely, and this is where he feels comfortable. And he keeps asking me, is it dangerous for me to be going here? And I told him, I said, for you, you're unlikely to get subverted by the false doctrine there. But the more you're exposed to it, and the more you're exposed to it in combination with the some true things this church promotes, the more vulnerable you're going to be to have your faith subverted and to be drawn away from the gospel. So here's somebody who has a lot of experience in apologetics, a good knowledge of the Bible, definitely a friend like me who knows the difference between truth and false. And yet I think he's vulnerable. Any of us could be vulnerable. I wouldn't recommend that somebody watch Oprah Today or the new Oprah or other things that are ungodly. Now, we started out saying I went to a B.B. King concert last night. Some of his descriptions about the eternal romantic dance between men and women, we're definitely not talking about biblical covenant between one man and one woman for a lifetime. There were some little bit risque. I mean, this is B.B. King. You're not going to have anything really bad. But not everything there was a Christian worldview, and I chose to put myself in that environment. But I choose carefully. I choose selectively. And the more I immerse myself in the truth of the gospel, surround myself with people who are surrendered to God as I am, the more I yield to the Holy Spirit changing me in his world, the safer I am from being seduced away by the counterfeits. Now, we have to be involved in some ways. Certainly God calls us to be involved in the world around us, helping the poor and the needy, preaching the gospel, rendering aid whenever we can, being a light on the hill, as Jesus says in Matthew. There's a fine line between being a Christian in the world and being subverted into the world.
Gretchen Pasentino is co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. Gretchen, thank you very much for your time. Look forward to our next conversation.
God bless you and all of your listeners, Todd.